My Taste with Estrella Galicia. Brought to you by Bibendum Wine.
Hello and welcome to My Taste, our programme that aims to expand and improve your knowledge of food and drink through the perspective of chefs, restaurateurs and wine experts. I'm Ben McCormack, the editor of squaremeal.co.uk, and today I'm talking to a chef who trained with some of the greats like Ferran Adrià and Gordon Ramsay, but turned his back on the world of fine dining to open his own chain of Spanish restaurants. His name is Omar Aliboy, and the chances are that one of his tapas revolutions is opening in a town near you soon. Omar, welcome to the programme.
Hi.
Your restaurants are called Tapas Revolution. That's a fairly punchy statement of intent. Could you tell us what the inspiration was behind calling the restaurants Tapas Revolution?
Well, the restaurants were going to be called Ibericos, etc. But just before I was about to open the restaurant, I did this long trip around the UK, spreading the word of tapas and teaching people how to make easy Spanish food at home with ingredients available in any supermarket. So I draw this T for tapas in the map of England, sort of in a T formation that was going from the west coast in Liverpool to the east coast in Grimsby in a horizontal line, and a sort of perpendicular line all the way down to the Isle of Wight. And literally it took me 15 days in my scooter. I only brought with me a pan, a pot, a knife and a chopping board, and I just wanted to show everyone across the UK that you could cook great Spanish food. And this trip was called Tapas Revolution.
Did you think we needed that revolution in attitudes to Spanish food in this country?
Totally, because Spain is your most visited country. 50 million Brits went last year to Spain. But when you come back to the UK, you never cook Spanish food. And you love everything about Spanish food in there. I have to say that you love your English breakfast as well while you're in Spain, particularly in the costas. But it needed a bit more emphasis. And I was always wondering why. Why people go to Spain, love Spanish food, and they come back and they don't cook it. And everybody cooks Italian, everybody cooks Chinese stir fries, Indian curries, all sorts of things. I thought, I don't know, what other things there is? People don't like it. What is it? But you really liked it. There was very few Spanish restaurants. And then one day I took a pen and a paper and I said, I'm just going to ask people. And I went downstairs in the street, in Baker Street, where I used to live. And I asked a middle-aged woman, would you have 2 minutes to talk about food with me? And she said, yeah, no problem. I said, have you ever been in Spain? And she said, yes, I go there every year. I have a house in Malaga. I said, oh. And she said, I speak Spanish. I said, oh, that's good. I said, so I'm guessing that you are familiar with Spanish food. And she said, I love Spanish food. And she started talking about croquetas, squid, and so on. And I said, and do you mind me asking if you cook Spanish food when you come back home? And she sort of stopped for a second. And she said, not really. I said, why do you think that is? And she said, no one has ever shown me. And I thought, oh, that's a really simple answer, yet it makes a lot of sense. And then everything sort of started clicking. I thought, I need to just make my most now to try to spread the word of real Spanish food and how it's done, because it's much easier than people think.
Another way I think that your restaurants have been revolutionary is you haven't started off going to city centres or those kind of plum residential areas. You have opened in shopping centres. I think your first restaurant was in at Westfield in West London, followed by Bluewater in Kent and now in Birmingham as well. Was that part of your deliberate approach to spreading the word on Spanish food?
Totally, because I wanted to be where people is, where normal people is. You know, I didn't want to open in a little residential area where only the neighbours can go. I thought I need to open in places where everyone goes. The catchment needs to be as big as it possibly can. And that was the idea as well. Something that interferes in a way with the tapas bar culture in Spain and how people goes out here. Not anymore now, things have changed in 5 years, but people goes out for dinner and they have their main, their starter, their dessert, and they spend 2.5 hours on the table. that doesn't happen in Spain. In tapas bar, you go, you nibble somewhere, something really good, you move on to the next, and you may spend 30 minutes, you may spend 1 hour.
When Westfield opened in 2008, it got very glowing reviews, which must be the first time I think I've ever read positive reviews for a restaurant in a shopping centre. Did that feel like a vindication of your approach?
I thought so. We were really pleased, as well as I was sceptic of, just telling the world we were open in terms of critics and food critics. You know, they can be quite cruel and brutal. And I thought, after coming from El Pirata de Tapas in Notting Hill, which the food was very modern, very artistic and very polished, and I wanted to do something homey, rustic, you know, and speedy, I thought, some people may not get the concept. That's why you will never see a tapas revolution suckling pig on the menu, or just things which by nature will need to cost substantially more. I like my tapas to be between 3 and 6.50. To me, it's very important that absolutely anyone can try them. If you have more money, eat more, drink a better wine, drink more beers, whatever. You have less, have a great deal at $7.95, an Estrella de Galicia beer and a paella, and be out in 25 minutes.
When you were working in Spain initially, you trained with the legendary chef Ferran Adrià of El Bulli fame. When you moved to London, you were working with Gordon Ramsay at May's Restaurant, two obviously very famous posh restaurants. Did it feel like a about turn to be going with your own restaurants down the tapas bar route, and also down a very, very affordable route as well?
Yes, I have to say. And there was a real clash of identity within myself. I have to say, I had a bit of a struggle. It was something that I really wanted to do, to go affordable and rustic and give the vast majority of people what they wanted. But being a chef, working with those great chefs and so on, there was something within me that said, why don't you make the best restaurant you can and then do tapas revolution after, on the back of it. But it was bad times, you know, when with the crisis was starting, and it was in 2010, and I just thought it was sort of, I felt stronger about tapas revolution than I felt for making my own personal restaurant that everybody would be amazed at.
The one exception to having a restaurant in a shopping centre for you is the Shoreditch restaurant in East London, which opened earlier this year. Have you found the East London hipsters have been as receptive to tapas revolution as shoppers in Bluewater or Westfield have?
Shoreditch is a bit different. It's different food, and everything about it is a bit independent in that respect from the other three. So you would find common things at Bluewater, Westfield or Birmingham, but you won't find them at Shoreditch. So I treated that as a little neighbourhood restaurant, but with the same emphasis on great quality, on being very creative. And for the very first time, it's the only place that we control our own music, our own walls. We have, it's a standalone restaurant in that respect. So I wanted to develop the concept further and try the higher street as well, because at the end there is a limited amount of places that you can go in shopping centres. The higher street is everywhere, as you know. So I wanted to make something that has a bit of a character and identity in its own right, yet it has the same soul as tapas revolution.
Which would be your four or five favourite small plates from your menus?
Croquetas has to be there. That's probably one of my personal favourites as well.
With ham or with ham, something else?
With ham. We have a phenomenal piquillo peppers and Idiazabal smoked cheese, which for vegetarians, which is terrific, but ham is something different. And ham, a very classic on this one. Deep fried squid, calamares, probably patatas bravas as well. And then I like, those I kind of always have, no matter which tapas bar I go in town or in Madrid, or, you know, that. And then I sort of play with the others. Obviously, I love fresh seafood, and in Spain we tend to do very little to them, whether it's garlicky prawns or just rays or clams cooked in the griddle, or just very simple but good produce-based recipes. Some people get confused as well. You know, tapas is a small plate of Spanish food, okay? And then there is the cultural element of how we go out, how we go the tapas, that we say. In the same way as you in this country meet for a pint, there we say we meet for tapas. And we just go and we, it's that sharing culture of eating different things in the table and eating from the same plate. That is what it connects us, you know. It's when you share food from the same plate, it's very social and quite important to our culture. And I think that's fundamental to how we've grown up in Spain and why I think tapas sort of have evolved into what they are today to suit our needs of socializing.
You've spoken about how you're trying to rehabilitate the image of Spanish food in this country. What about drinks? I know that you have a sangria on the drinks menu, which must be the most cliched Spanish drink of all. Do people try that and they think, this is sangria that I've never tasted before? I've never had it like this in Spain.
It's a top seller, full stop. Sangria, it's sort of, I mean, if we could put the five most known words about Spanish food or drinks, I think it'll be paella, tapas, jamón, sangria, and maybe tortilla or cerveza. Probably cerveza, I would say.
The other thing that really leaps out to me in the drinks list at Tapas Revolution is a completely all-Spanish gin list. We in this country, of course, think of ourselves as the inventors of gin. There's London gin. But the Spanish, I think, drink more gin than any other country in the world. Is that right?
I believe, or at least in Europe.
Okay.
But we buy most of your gins. I mean, it is sort of their drink, you know. We don't tend to have whiskey and coke or vodka and lemonade, and it is a gin and tonic at any age as well. It's sort of, that's why we are the biggest consumer.
And it's served in these big balloon glasses, isn't it?
Very much. Very important. And it's not just the volume, it's the amount of ice you need to put as well into the mix. And I mean, we love your gins and we use them, but at Tapas Revolution I wanted to showcase the different style of gins that we have in Spain from the different regions as well. And I believe we are the only exclusive Spanish gin menu in the UK, and I've picked and choose things which are very characteristic, in some cases a bit expensive, but having said that, if you go to Spain, you don't see them on the menus. It's very rare to see them because they are all quite niche. You know, I put a lot of effort into bringing them. They are not ready available anywhere. And but what is ready available is all your gins, really. We just buy UK gins in general.
That must have been a tough job for you, tasting your way through all of those gins to put the gin list together.
You can't imagine.
Presumably,
what a good evening that was.
Presumably you're a gin fan yourself.
I am. That is my drink of choice when I go out. Beer or a gin and tonic. And I tend to start with beers and then I move on into gin and tonics. But the funny thing is that here you kind of have a gin and tonic at the beginning of the meal, and in Spain it's after. We have a meal, we have our sort of digestive, and then we go into gin and tonics.
Well, you've brought a beer along for us to try today. It's Estrella Galicia from the northwest of Spain. What is it about this beer that you like?
Well, to me, it's the best tasting big beer brand in Spain. You know, when I say big, it's still family owned, and but the quality is all to do in the taste. I am from Madrid, and in Spain, and I'm not sure if it happens in the UK, but in Spain, beer is, again, quite a cultural thing, and flavors are engraved within us. So in Madrid, we have Mao beer, okay? And everybody sort of drinks that. Having said that, I've been always a Estrella de Galicia beer drinker, and I've converted all my friends because they realize that even though the beer from our region is Mao, you know, it does taste better. And the whole of Spain, it's changing a lot. And they are taking over, I have to say, because people is starting to appreciate more and more. It has happened a bit like in the UK, that with all the craft beer trends, and now people really appreciate good beer. It's not just to get drunk, and it's happening exactly the same, and not just on the craft beer world, but in the in every beer, in the draft beer too, and that's why they are making the move. I think we are the biggest wine producer by volume in the world, or by extension or something like that. But in Spain, we don't drink that much of wine. We are beer drinkers, and the reason is because when you eat with tapas, wine matching is really difficult. You know, you are changing flavors from garlicky prawns to meatballs to chorizo cooked inside that to anchovies to jamón, and all those together, they just don't work with one wine. That is why we always drink beer when we go out. And when it comes to, you know, to me, Estrella Galicia Lager, it's very refreshing. It has a point of acidity, a point of bitterness. It has enough character as well to stand on its own, and it sort of washes down every mouthful, so that you are set to the next, which is going to be very different. And to me, Estrella Galicia, it is the perfect beer for tapas and food matching in general.
Well, let's give this one a try.
Yeah, should we? Okay.
To me, it has a very lovely, rounded, soft taste. I can see why this would be a good match with food, in the way that some lagers are perhaps more crisp and refreshing on a hot day if you want a palate cleanser, whereas that this would be more adaptable to food, I think.
Yes, very much. I mean, it is quite light in terms of that. If you could drink a few pints of this. Having said that, it has quite a lot of depth of flavor too, and that character is not just about washing down the different flavors. It needs to give something else. You know, it's not. It has to be 1 + 1 = 3 when it comes to beer matching. You know, and it's sort of it goes both ways. It's not just the beer matching the food, is there? Food matching the beer, and that's what it makes a very rounded experience overall. Because when you match, if you choose the wrong wine or the wrong beer with food, it just all goes quite bad. And this is a beer that doesn't taste very oxidized when you eat seafood with, and which happens quite a lot when you have anchovies and you have your boquerones or prawns, and beer, it just feels very metal in your mouth, and that's. It doesn't happen with this beer, which is very important for Spanish cuisine.
Presumably, you don't just eat in Spanish restaurants. Do you have any favourite cuisines that aren't Spanish?
Yes, I would say French is my. It's very close to my heart as well. It has a lot of similarities with the Spanish food, but those stews, the good produce, the good techniques, it's how I grow up, and I just have I'm a fond fan of French cuisine and French restaurants.
Do you have any particular favorites?
Yes, I do. I have a French little bistro called Galvin's Bistro Deluxe in Baker Street, and that is the place where I go even on my own, on my day off, with my newspaper, and just have great food and great service, and in a very convivial environment, and quite simple and affordable. And that's what one finds for what one needs for himself. You know, it's quite weird to go restaurants on your own, but when you are as busy as I am, sometimes I need a little bit of time for myself. And that's when I buy my El País newspaper, which is the Spanish most read newspaper, and I go there, enjoy a good glass of wine and a few good French bistro foods. And
so a little taste of France while you read about Spain.
Yeah, very much.
How about in Dolly's Hill in northwest London, where you live? Do you have any favourite local restaurants near to your house?
There's quite a few good Turkish type of restaurant, and I have a particularly good Afghan called Ariana, and I just love it. It feels very Mediterranean, the food, but with their spices and so on. And sometimes with the Spanish food, it's quite flavors are not particularly bold and punchy, you know, they are not like curries. They are a bit more mild, a bit softer. And I found Afghan food to be quite similar, but with a completely different style. And that's probably what I like.
And what about if you had something very special to celebrate? Where would you go and eat then?
I have a few favorites for that, and we're talking Michelin star restaurants here. But I do love Maze, I have to say. It's, you know, just the whole environment. There is the fun element as well. And then I really like Hakkasan as well. As Chinese, I think it's just incredible. And you can feel the difference between normal Chinese restaurants and Hakkasan.
Do you get out? I mean, you have a restaurant in Birmingham. Do you get out of London to eat out very much at all? Do you have a favourite out-of-London restaurant?
Well, there in Birmingham, I went to the best Indian I've ever been, and it's called Lasan, and which apparently is quite famous because they were in the F Word of Gordon Ramsay and they won it and so on. I didn't know when I went, and it was outstanding. And again, because I think it happens a bit like with the Spanish food. People don't go to fine dining Spanish restaurants. You know, you tend to leave that to French and others. And when I went there, it's sort of like an Indian fine dining, and it was a new experience to me, and I loved it.
What about a favourite dish? Is there anything on the menu that as soon as you see that one item, you think, that's what I'm having?
In which type of restaurant?
Overall, if you had a sort of a death row dish.
I'm a pizza lover. Give me pizza and I'm happy. And I do a lot of pizza at home too. I'm a particularly fan of it.
Any favourite toppings?
Yes, I tell you, a great combination. Stilton, walnuts, whiskey and honey.
I think there could be a pizza revolution in the offing here, perhaps.
It could be, and I'm sure my career will be really long, and I'm sure I'll do a lot of things, and a pizza place has to be one in the future.
Is the revolution over now? Now you have four restaurants, and you've really put Spanish cooking on the map, or is your work done, do you think, or are there more revolutions in the pipeline?
Not at all. I think there is still a huge work to be done, and to me, until we are as accepted as Indian, Chinese, French or Italian, I will not stop, because there is very few Spanish restaurants still in every city compared to any other cuisines, and people still don't cook too much Spanish food. I think my book, which is the most sold Spanish cookery book in the country, has helped, and I get a lot of feedback, and the restaurants and the overall work that every Spanish restaurant is doing, but we are a long way down. We are a long way away.
Are there more restaurants in the pipeline for you?
Yes, I'm opening in Sheffield probably about the 1st of March, if everything goes well, and Newcastle later on next year too. So those are the two that I can say I'm working on now as we speak, apart from sorting out all the little problems that happens in my four restaurants.
It's been a real pleasure speaking to you today, Omar. Thanks again for coming in to talk to us, and see you soon.
Fingers crossed, see you soon, and thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
My Taste with Estrella Galicia, Spain's favourite lager. Find out more about Estrella Galicia at jazzfm.com/bibendumwine.